Morning, sisters. Hope you slept well. Did you do okay sleeping? I was up at like 4 in the morning because my body thought it was 7. I was like, no! It's trying to grab the pillow. So I hope you're beginning to interiorize the love of God for you, right? Maybe you remember, one of the sisters just told me, I was with you guys, I think a year or something ago, and last night as I was speaking, I remembered faces and I thought, oh no. I'm going to tell the same cheesy jokes, and I hope they can still laugh at them, right? So remember, on a retreat, we want to be like we're in the sun. In California, you have sun. In Pittsburgh, we don't. When you're in the sun, you don't have to grasp for the vitamin D. What do? Just receive. You're going to see me this afternoon when you guys are praying the rosary. I'm going to be out there just taking in the sun. That's what we want to do. Just take in, interiorize the love of God for you. You're basting, right? You're basting on retreat. You're basting in the love of God. I don't know if I told you guys this or not, but this lady died and went up to heaven. You guys know I like to tell jokes. And she got up to heaven, and St. Peter, you know, met her at the gate, and she said, what do I have to do to get in? And she said, you just have to spell one word. She said, what's the word? He said, love. She said, L-O-V-E. He said, done. Come on in. A few weeks later, St. Peter went on vacation and asked her to watch the gate. And to her great surprise, her husband came up and she said, honey, I can't believe it. You're here. How have you been since I died? And he said, you won't believe it. My life has been amazing. You know that beautiful young nurse who was caring for you? I married her, right? And we've been traveling all over the world, going scuba diving and doing all these amazing things. And we were skiing in the French Alps. And I fell and hit my head on a rock, and that's why I'm here. What do I have to do to get in? And she said, you just have to spell one word. And he said, what's the word? And she said, Czechoslovakia. So let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Just repeat after me, ladies. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with the power of your love. Grant us the grace to believe in your love like we never have before. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I had a bunch of coffee, so we're going to have a little bit of a rousing conference today, more than a subdued one, right? So just finish this line for me. All you need is, you can't buy me. That's the power of baby I was born to. It's actually Run. That's Bruce Springsteen, right? That lasso. But that's the idea, right? Love. You guys know this. Love is the heart of Christianity, amen? It's the heart of the Christian message. It's what we're created for. We're created out of love and by love and for love because God is. That's what it's all about, right? That's what it's all about. And that's why it's the only thing that I really ever talk about. Love is the lens through which we have to understand everything else. All the commandments, all the rules, all the teachings of the church, the stained glass windows, the altar, our sacraments, it all flows out of this explosion of love that is the inner Trinitarian God that we worship. Amen? God is love. When Jesus gave a new commandment, the commandment he gave was this, love one another as I have loved you. Folks, that's our call as Christians. Our call, and when I'm preaching in the parishes, I say this all the time, our call as Christians is not to be nice people who have good manners that obey all the traffic laws and don't swear. We reduce Christianity to being nice people. Christianity is not about being nicer people. Oprah can make you a nicer person, right? What? Sorry, I always pick on Oprah for some reason, right? We're not called to be nicer people. We're called to like God loves. We're called to love like God loves. This is how St. Paul puts it. You guys have heard this before because it's read at every wedding that's ever happened, right? From the beginning of time to the end of time. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interest. Love is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What Paul is saying there, St. Paul is saying is this. Love as God loves. The call to Christians, right, and the capacity we're given is to love as God loves. And when I read that list and I see how far I am from loving like that, I kind of go, how is it possible? Like, how is it possible for me? All those things, kind of, and self-inflated. I feel like I do all those things, right, all the time. How is it possible to love like God? And as I'm asking that question, I hear St. John. In the first letter of St. John, what does St. John say? In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God has first loved us. Our ability, sisters, to love is completely dependent on our ability to allow ourselves to be loved. His love comes first. And what we so often do in the spiritual life is we try and be more patient. We try and be more kind. We're trying to do all these things, right? And we got our eyes on these things. I got to be more patient, and I got to be more this, and I got to do that, and I got to do that. And Jesus is over here going, hey, I can help. And we're going, not now, Jesus. I'm trying to be more loving, right? We concentrate on being better people instead of concentrating on Jesus. And Jesus is the incarnation of love. Jesus is the incarnation of love. The psalm that my favorite psalm says this, look towards him that you might be radiant with joy. How many of you would like to be radiant with joy? Yeah, lady back there put up two hands. I love it, right? Want to be radiant with joy? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. We have the transfiguration today, right? How do we become transfigured? That's the gospel for today. How do we become transfigured? We look at all of the ways that we fail and stare at them. No. We look at him. See, here's the thing, ladies. Our friendship, our moral perfection is not a prerequisite to our friendship with God. Let me say that again. Our moral perfection is not a prerequisite to our friendship with God. Our moral perfection flows out of our friendship with God. God is not waiting for you to become perfect so that you can be friends with him. God is saying, come to me now with all your brokenness, with all your weakness, with all your misery. Let me love you right now, and then I will make you more loving, patient, kind, and all the things you're not. But what we do is we put God off to the side. We say, let me work on these things so that God will be happy with me, and then I can come to God. Works exactly the opposite. He's saying, come to me now, right? Our ability to love like God is directly dependent on our letting ourselves be loved by God. It's everything. Letting ourselves be loved by God. It's hard. At least for me. It's hard to let myself be loved by God, right? I can stand here and I can tell you how much God loves you because I'm absolutely convinced of it. I am 100% convinced that God loves you. It's so much more difficult to be 100% convinced that God loves me. I find it much more, I'm totally convinced that God loves you. I have to work really hard to convince myself that God loves me. And maybe you fall into this trap, right? That God loves me-er. Have you ever heard that? Like the me-er? Like God can love me when I'm better. God can love me when I'm holier. I'll let God love me when I'm less of a sinner. In the future, I'm running out of errs. But here's the problem with that. If you won't let him love you now, you won't let him love you. If you're waiting to allow him to love you when you're worthy of him loving you, you will never experience the love of God. Never experience. He wants to love you right now. Folks, that's the good news of the gospel. You know the word gospel comes from euangelion. It means good news. The good news of the gospel is that not that the God will love you when you're exactly how he wants you to be. The good news of the gospel is not he will love you when you're sinning less or when you're better at whatever you want to be better at. The good news of the gospel, the glorious news of the gospel, is that he loves you right now. Right now. With all of your foibles and all of your weakness and all of your brokenness and all of your sins. Let's just pray this prayer together. I don't know if I've taught it to you before. It goes like this. Jesus, help me allow you to love me. Do you remember that? Jesus, help me allow you to... Whoa, slow down there, class. I like it. I like your enthusiasm, right? Repeat after me. Jesus, help me allow you to love me. Let's repeat it one more time. Jesus, help me allow you to love me altogether. Jesus, help me allow you to love me. It's a bit of a tongue twister, but it's an absolutely essential prayer. You know why? Because so often we're good football players. We're good with a stiff arm. You know what a running back does when a linebacker comes to tackle him? He stiff arms him. He doesn't let him close. And Jesus comes close and he goes, I'm here, I'm going to love you, I'm going to tackle you in love. And we go, boom, stiff arm. So we even need his help. Jesus, help me to allow you to love me. One of the reasons I found for much of my life, and I've shared with you guys my story, but for those who hasn't heard it, it's so hard to accept God's unconditional love for me is because when I was growing up, and my parents were good, very good parents, but I didn't really receive the affirmation of my existence as good. And my parents were tired. I'm the youngest of five, you know? And I'm the worst of the five, you know? I was bad kid growing up. I was real bad. Tough. I was a tough kid to be a parent of. My mom used to say, she used to say, Joe, God doesn't make mistakes, but sometimes he allows accidents, you know? I used to say, Mom, that's not very affirming. But I didn't receive the affirmation of my existence as good. You know? Or maybe I just was open to it, but I wasn't told that it's just good that I exist before I do anything. Before I accomplish anything, before I take out the garbage when my mom tells me to, I didn't receive it. And what happens is if we're not told that we're good, that our existence is good, that our existence is a gift, right? We have anxiety and insecurity. And that's what I had. When my mom used to correct me, she didn't used to correct my actions, she used to correct me. You're stupid. That was a stupid thing you did. And I love my mom dearly. Don't tell her if you see her. Right? You know, and my older sister, caught on to that. And so she would beat me up. And so when I was a little kid, I grew up thinking that I was stupid. And that I was an idiot. And that I could never do anything right. And that I was a mistake. And when you're a little kid and your being gets corrected rather than your actions, that was a bad decision, Joe. That's the proper way rather than you're stupid. When you're a little kid, you take that in. You don't know how to differentiate between action and being. And so I took it not into my behavior, I took it into my being, and I said, not just what I've done was a mistake, but I'm a mistake. I'm stupid. I lived under those lies. And most of my life, for 30 years, I was trying to get out of those lies. And the way that I tried to get out of those lies was to try and prove that I wasn't an idiot. Try and prove that I was someone. Try and prove that I was special. Try and prove that I was cool. And so I was like, I told you guys this, right? I was like a chameleon. I asked the eighth grade class the other day, what's a chameleon do? And a kid said, eats flies, right? I said, I know that, right? Changes colors. That was me. My whole life running, changing colors. I'll be who you want me to be. Just what kind of person do you want me to be? I'll be that. Tiring. That's such an exhausting way to live. I'll be this for you, and I'll be this for this group, and I'll be this for this group, and I'll be this, and I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm running. Never at peace. Anxiety and insecurity. Anxiety always grasps for peace. Insecurity always grasps for security. I was constantly trying to prove my worth. Somebody tell me I'm someone. Somebody tell me I'm worthwhile. I fell into it even as a priest. Somebody tell me. Somebody tell me that I'm loved, right? And I'd finish a homily and I'd wait at the door for somebody to come and say, "Oh, Father, that was amazing." And I remember people would say, "Oh, Father. Oh, Father." The homily that Father Bob gave down the street last week, you know? And I'd say, I hope you never come back. You know? Constantly trying to prove our worth, approval, affirmation. And the affirmation we seek can only come from one, our true Father. The affirmation that we seek is His. So if you find yourself running around to your cousins, your husband, your children, your family, you don't have to anymore. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. The affirmation you're looking for is given. It's the Father. Just stand there. And let me affirm you. You are good. You are beautiful. You are wanted. You are special. You are precious and glorious in my eyes. And I love you. You see what would happen, sisters, if we lived in that gaze? Can you imagine the transfer? Do you know what would happen? You'd go home free women. You would go home free women, and your husband and your family would say, "What happened to you?" And you can say, "This crazy priest from Pittsburgh. He told me how special I am. And I believed him. Because he's a good salesman. I believed him because I know it's true." Each one of you, myself included, has been loved into existence. None of you, before you were born, said to God, "I want to exist." And so you came into being. None of you are a mistake. God wanted you to be. That's why you exist. You sitting there are proof of God's love. Because if He didn't want you, you wouldn't be. He likes you. God likes you. And you might not like yourself. The greatest barrier to receiving God's love is our own self-hatred and self-condemnation and self-accusation. So, with the 5 minutes we have left, we're going to renounce lies. Maybe lies you've believed your whole life. And we're going to do it in front of the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And we're going to take our stand. You, sisters, you're little warriors. Maybe you've never thought of yourself as a warrior. But you are a warrior. Just like Joan of Arc. Just like Thérèse of Lisieux. And just like that little girl from Nazareth who crushes the serpent's head. We have to renounce the lies so that we can take in the truth that we have been fully loved into being and into existence. So, I'm going to go through some lies and I'll give you the formula to renounce them. It goes, In the, you don't have to repeat after me yet. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that blank. I'll repeat it, and you repeat it after me, okay? What's happened during your lifetime is you've had lies come into your heart from your husbands, from your children, from your parents, from your coworkers, from your classmates, from your everybody. And when we hear those lies enough, we interiorize the external aggressor. When my sister said, Joe, you're stupid, Joe, you're stupid, Joe, you're stupid, pretty soon that was told to me enough that it got into my ear and into my heart that my interior voice started to say, not Joe's stupid, Joe, I'm stupid, I'm stupid, I'm stupid. So let's be done with that today, okay? So bow your heads or just close your eyes. And just repeat after me. I'm going to go through some lies. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am of no significance. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I'll never amount to anything. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am a failure. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that nobody cares about me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I have to do it all myself. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am a mistake. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that something's wrong with me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am ugly. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am unworthy of love. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am a terrible mom. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am a terrible wife. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that God can't be bothered with me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am worthless, that I don't matter, that I am lazy, that I am no good. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I should be punished for my sins in this life. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that God can't forgive me. So if any of those particularly struck your heart, or if you found yourself tearing up when you said any of them, just take a minute now, and in your heart, just say it again. You don't have to say it out loud, but say it again. Often when we go through these lists of lies, if one particularly strikes you, that's the lie that has bondage over you. Maybe it's the lie that you're not beautiful, that you're not wanted, that you're not a good mother, that you're not special, that no one cares about you, that you're all alone. Just repeat after me again. In the name of Jesus, I renounce all of these lies and any other lies that I have ever believed. Amen. So we're going to have confessions now, an opportunity, and then we'll head into Mass. But you just want to spend this time in the truth. And the truth is this: that God, when he created you, looked at you and said, I find you very good. I find you very good. You've heard me tell this story. When I was born, right, I was a big baby. I still am. I think I was like 9 pounds, 10 ounces or something like that. And all you ladies understand that. I tell that to guys and they're like, so, you know? My mom and dad prayed for a scripture verse. They were good parents, even though, you know, I said some of those things. And the scripture verse they got for me was Ephesians 2:10, which says, you are God's work of art. And maybe you remember this story, but my Aunt Janet was a Baptist from West Virginia. She was driving up to Pittsburgh to Mercy Hospital where I was, and my mom wouldn't tell her if I was a boy or if I was a girl. And my Aunt Janet stopped at this Baptist Bible store, and she bought a little baby t-shirt. She took a chance, and she just said, I'll buy blue. And if it's a girl, she can wear blue too. And she came up, and she came into the room and gave the present to my mom, and my mom opened it up and held up the little baby shirt. And she said, it's a boy, you know, it's a boy. And my aunt said, oh, good. And she turned around the shirt and she read it and it said, God's work of art. Right? That's who I am. A funny looking work of art, right? But I'm God's work of art. And that's who you are too. You are God's work of art. Precious and glorious in his sight. You want to accept that. And accept yourself this morning. Sisters, the reason I'm so passionate about this, I'm like an Italian right now, is because everything hinges on this. Everything hinges on this. If you leave this retreat accepting yourself and loving yourself, I'm not saying we don't have sins or we don't repent. Of course we do. That's why we have confession. But to accept yourself and love yourself, you will become a fountain of love that God has created you to be. You are good. You are worthwhile. And you are lovable. And if you're thinking, but nobody loves me, just think, Father Joe loves me. Because I do. Okay? We'll see you in a little bit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.